Blog Talk Radio.
Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's good to be here on another show with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm glad to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So it's because of the grace of God, as the writer says, is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. He goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. So we thank God for that little quote from Lamentations, the Lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah. So it's good to be here. And I ask you the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Think upon that question. So we thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Twitter followers, and whoever you are that are listening to this ministry, Truth Ministry, on Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for you tuning in, because you can not only just listen live, today is August the 23rd, 2017, but you can listen on demand at any time. So all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/truth-. And you can tune in. So that's blogtalkradio.com/truth-. Or you can put in blogtalkradio.com and just put in Elder Cannon, and it will pull up the a list of the broadcasts, because they keep them in order and they're on demand. So we thank God for this medium of the internet, Blog Talk Radio, on the internet, this technology that we're able to put the word out there. So we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the Ephesian church, to the church at Ephesus, actually one of his prison epistles, and one of the churches that he started himself. So also, we would like you to know that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So there is one God. So that's what the term Godhead, we are trying to get people to see that there is only one God. And that was the message that Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 6 and 4 initially to Israel, the Hebrew Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So this is St. Paul letting Timothy, his son in the gospel, know there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So we thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ, because everybody don't know who Jesus is. And so that's what we call him here in America. So we know the translations were translated from the Hebrew canon, and I'm told that the King James Version is the closest to the original manuscript. So this is how God communicates with us, through his word. And I'm told there's between 6 and 7,000 languages in the world. So that's a lot of languages. So we just happen to be, or I do, where I'm at, in the region of the English language. And then we know there are people that speak other languages also. That's why it's been translated into all of these different languages, but it's a medium of communication, the translation, so we're able to convey or communicate the word. So it's a living word. The word is for everyone. So God is a spirit. No matter what he has become, he is still a spirit. He has appeared in many different forms. But in these last days, the writer says, he hath appeared unto us in the office of sonship. So it's so important. This is what we're trying to, it's not just talking about the image of a man that we see with blue eyes and all that. That's not how he looked, but how he looked was how the prophet Isaiah said, when we should see him, there should no beauty we desire. So we know the Patmos experience that St. John had was how he saw him at that particular time. But what we're trying to convey, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past, in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So this is how God spoke to people. So it hath in these last days, the Hebrew writer says, spoken unto us by his son. So the sonship is an office, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So that's why we come in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, because John just didn't go through no genealogies like Matthew and Luke did, but he got right to the point. The subject of the New Testament message is God. He came in the person of the Christ, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. That's why the woman at the well, we know when Messiah cometh, he shall tell us all things. So that's why he told her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. So it's so important. So you can't talk about what you don't know. So many people are talking about trying to explain who the Messiah is, trying to talk about the gospel, and they don't even have the born-again experience. You can't talk about the Spirit of God or the Word of God, the Spirit of the Word, because it's a living Word. You can't talk about what you don't have, because it takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. That's why Jesus said that you must be born again. So you're not born again, you can't see it. So you can't enter into the kingdom except you be born again. You can't see it unless you're born again, so that your eyes of your understanding have to be open. And that's talking about your understanding. That's why people say, oh, I see. So what they're saying is, I understand. So we're going on here today, so we're still in our series, and so that's my ongoing theme, the Godhead. So that's why James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. And he went on to say in James 2 and 19, the devils also believe and tremble. So they believe there's one God. They know it's one God, but he's a liar. Him and all of his imps, the devil that is, he'll have people thinking there's two and three, but he knows there's only one God. So that's why when Jesus came on the scene, one of the first places he went, a couple of the writers write, he went into the synagogue. There was a man had an unclean devil in him and said, we know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God. Are you come to torment us before the time? He rebuked him, told him to hold his peace and come out of the man in the synagogue. So that amazes me when you go back and you read and when you really ponder and think about what he said. Unclean spirit of a devil, ain't no devil clean. He's a dirty devil, and all his imps too. So we thank God that we're here on today as we get ready to move on in the lesson on today. And should you desire to call in, you can do so. And our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 if you desire to call in. And I know sometimes people have called in, and they call in, you can listen, because they call in, they can actually listen to the show on their phone. So I had that to happen too. I had to learn that. Like, a sister called in, and so she said, I'm just listening. So you can do that too. So you can call in if you just want to listen to the show by way of your phone, 929-477-2285. So today we are talking about part six of Only Believe. Only Believe. And so we're actually going to move on into the 11th chapter of St. John. We have been going through the book of St. John. So we know John wrote St. John, the first, second, and third epistle of John, and also the Revelation is what John the Apostle wrote. These books that he wrote, and incidentally, he was the last apostle to die. So all the apostles are dead. Every last one, every single one of them are dead. So we are built on the foundation, the writer to the church at Ephesus, who is St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2 and 20, says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So there are no apostles today. Like I've said, they were chosen by the Lord. They were eyewitnesses with him. They actually walked with him. They were personally taught by him. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, the ones that were apostles, because all of the disciples were not apostles. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They died horrible deaths, except for John. He was the one that had to do the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was in the isle called Patmos for the testimony of the word of the Lord. So that's why he saw him in that state that he saw him in the Isle of Patmos. So that's not, that is a totally another state. Just like I said, if you want to know how he looked, read the 53rd chapter, excuse me, of the book of Isaiah. But actually, in reality, this was him after his passion, after his resurrection, what John the Apostle saw. And that's why he was saying, when he writes, he was saying, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in kingdom, the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And so he says, he goes on here, and I turned to see the voice. Whoever saw a voice? John did. That spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. So his hairs were white like wool. His head and his hairs were white like wool. That's the Ancient of Days. And his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like on the fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So you go ahead, you keep reading in the book of the Revelation, it's talking about waters and things that pertain, and he goes on to say, the waters which thou sawest are peoples. So there's a lot of things. People don't understand what the scripture is saying when he's talking about that God is able to raise up stones unto Abraham. Of these children, raise up unto these children, of these stones, children unto Abraham. So remember, he made the statement, if these should hold their peace, the rocks should immediately cry out. And that's why I say, you got to get the revelation of what he's talking about. The rock is the condition of the heart. I was a rock. I wonder whose place did I take? He's not talking about no rocks crying out because he's going to have a church. So I was a rock. Initially, the house of Israel, they rejected him. So I was one of the rocks that cried out. So we have to just get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, the proverbial writer says, and in all thy getting, get understanding. Hold on to her. She is thy life. So he says, fear. So he says, when he saw him, he was saying his voice is as the sound of, his feet was like on the fine brass as they burned in the furnace, his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That's why he says, write the things which I have seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, and the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So those are the ones that I just read. And that is when he said Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and unto Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Laodicea. So that's the church age. Actually, the state of the age of the church in that we're in right now is Laodicea. So that's why he goes on, as he wrote, of these different ages of the church, the state that they are in. So he says, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. So think about this, and you can see, like, that's the state that we're in right now. He says, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So don't that sound like the state that we're in right now? And he goes on here to say, because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So people are scared to preach this message. That's why he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So now I'm just making a point here. This is not the lesson that we're talking about, but I'm talking about the Messiah whom we have to believe in. And this is also one of John's letter. So again, should you desire to call in, you can, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. I'm talking about the same God. So as we continue on here in our lesson today, and Only Believe Part 6, and so he was saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he goes on to say, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So this is what he said to Martha when he went to comfort them concerning their brother Lazarus, who had died. And I mean, you imagine somebody coming to comfort you, you lost a loved one, and they tell you, I'm glad I wasn't there. But he goes on to say, to the intent ye may believe. So we're going to start here as we left off, finished up about the blind man and the works that he do. And he was saying, believe me for the very work's sake. So we go on here now to see his power, to see who he was and what he did. So now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, I remember when he went in that house, and she took that oil, and she anointed his feet, she anointed him and wiped him with her hairs of her head. And Judas, who was the thief, who had the bag, somebody said he was the treasurer, he said this, cause that ointment was very precious. It was spikenard. I'm told that that oil was a year's wages. You imagine, now this is a long time ago, over 2,000 years ago plus. Very expensive. That wasn't the point. So he says, she did this against, she anointed my body for burying. So this is the Mary that he was talking about. And not only that, she is the same Mary that saw him after he rose from the dead, one of the first ones. She's the same Mary out of whom he cast out seven devils. So she had to be horrible. So it goes on here. Therefore his sisters sent him unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest, and goest thou thither again? Is a question. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You see that this is a sentence. Three words. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's what I was saying a few minutes ago. To the intent, you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, our friend Lazarus is dead. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Yeah, so I'd lost my place here. Excuse me. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So she knew, like, he can help me. I remember one time, on one occasion, I believe it was in Matthew's gospel, this man's son was possessed. He had big time problems. I don't remember exactly what it was. The disciples, they couldn't cast out believe he had an unclean spirit or he had a devil. They couldn't cast him out. So Jesus said, they told Jesus about him. He said, bring him hither to me. So let me pause. Whatever you need, Jesus can do it. He can take care of it. So Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. You know what that is? That's faith. Faith, like the writer said, Romans 10:10, when St. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, he said, so then, he's talking about faith and talking about the preacher and talking about believing and how you're going to hear and how you're going to believe and how you're going to believe if they're sent. So he says, so then, Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if the Lord says something, let's say you could put your foot on it. If he says it, it's coming to pass. If he says it, he cannot lie. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, it's impossible for God to lie. So if he said it, it's coming to pass. He swear by no greater. He swear by himself. Or he swore to himself, or he swore alone, it matters not. But if he said it, it's coming to pass. You can put your foot on it. You can bank on it, as we said. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So you know she had to know something about the word. Because remember now, in the New Testament, in the days during the Messiah's earthly ministry, he walked the shores of Galilee. He did all of these miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did everything that the prophets had wrote about him doing. They were still under the law. The New and Living Way had not been opened up yet, because that's before the gospel was established. After he got up from the dead, that's when the new covenant took place. Was in place, put in place, because of the death of a testator. No will or no testament is of force until, what the writers say, after men are dead. So not only that, he didn't just die, but he got up and came back and made sure that we got the will or we got the testament. So Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. This is Mary now. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Now, you know how that is. Somebody meets you and stop and talk to you, or if they don't walk with you, going on to the place where you were going. But she must have stopped him, the way this sounds. So, it took longer for him to get there because he was hindered, or he was held up, as we would say. So the Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That wasn't no just plain talk either. She had trembling and agony and hurt and it all in her voice because she lost her brother and she knew who she was talking to. That's why she said, you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And so when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and so she was about to break. You know how you somebody can talk and then they'll just break down weeping, especially when they're bereaved. Everyone takes it different. Everybody's not all broke up all the time, but they have to do what they have to do. They're going to communicate to you, but when they're by themselves, they're no doubt broken up. But when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And so this next verse, Jesus wept. So I think this verse is so profound, more than we can comprehend. That's why the Hebrew writer says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. That's why he said, therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But also he says that him, talking about the great high priest, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor or succor means help. Because why? Isaiah said he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hear this as though our faces are him. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. So in other words, he been there. Don't nobody want that testimony, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. So he wept. St. John 11:35, Jesus wept. So then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So what did they see? They saw that he was tore up, as we say, from the floor up. He wept. That means he boohooed. He wept. He cried. It was like they say, when the priest went into the tabernacle the once a year with the sacrifice, not without blood, but first to offer for sins of himself and then for the people. Then they were saying that he went in there with strong crying. That's the crying kind of weeping that he done. And then he wept a number of times during his earthly ministry. He saw the city and he wept over it. So this is another time that he wept at Lazarus' grave. So, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? But see, all of this is, it doesn't matter. The whole point is he's showing who he is. So he goes on here, Jesus therefore groaning, again groaning, in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then take they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent. So case in point, he is the Son of God. He is the body of God. The church now is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. So he likened it unto a body in the natural. You got one head, and everybody else are members in particular. This is why he writes, when St. Paul wrote in the to the Corinthian church, the 12th chapter and the 14th chapter, and he was talking about the gifts and all, and then also in the 12th chapter of Romans, about the body being one and got many members. So anyway, he's in the office of sonship. God didn't stop being God. Like I was saying to someone the other day, you know, some people, that song, he left his home in glory. Yeah, no, he left, but he was still there. He's everywhere. He's everywhere, here, now, there, God. Just, he can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. He's still God. He's arrayed in majesty and glory. He can be wherever be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. Like I said, he can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He can be at your home, go with you when you're going where you're going, meet you when you get there, come back with you, meet you when you get back home. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. So that's why he says here that I knew that thou hearest me. So he's talking to himself. So when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, talking about the people that were there, that was standing by, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. So this is why these were done. And so that's why the title of this show on today is Only Believe, because we're still talking about believing. So we got to go back here and remember some things that happened, just like when she said that when he said, take away the stone, he'd been dead for 4 days, she said, and by this time he stinketh. All of that, rigor mortis and all of them other Morrises. And not only that, but like Job said in Job 19 and 25, I believe, he was saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and the latter days shall stand upon the earth. And he goes on to say, though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I shall see him for myself. My eyes shall behold him and not another. And he goes on to say, though my reins be consumed within me. So case in point, what did Job say? I know that though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So in other words, like they say, so many things take place when death occurs in the body. So that's why they freeze the body. That is why they embalm the body. They put spices, different things that they do to the body to try to preserve it. They're holding it back. So this is why St. Paul said, when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal, sure, it's a natural body. It's going to be raised a spiritual body. It is it's going to, not the body that is died is not that body that shall be. So in this case, he bought him back. He defied the odds. But I'm talking about a glorified body. How sown in corruption is going to be raised in incorruptible. Now, he was raised. He had to go back. He saw corruption again. But that's not the point. The point is being showed here in this with this lesson, with this event, because it say it like they had a song, beautiful story of Jesus. I tell her everywhere I go, and the writer goes on to say, oh, but it's not just a story. So this is not a story, but this is an event. This resurrection of Lazarus, and then incidentally to go on here to make another case in point. So he was corruptible. So all of that had to back up. It had to take a back seat. It had to reverse because he bought him back from the dead because he is the Son of Man. And so when he said Lazarus, he had to call him by his name, because if he hadn't called him by his name, everybody would have got up. Everybody in the graves would have got up. So that's what he's going to do. When he comes back again, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So that's why when that happens, he's going to call everyone by their name. It's the law. That's why, that is the reason why that he does it. He's going to call the dead in the grave shall hear the voice, the dead in the graves. I know a lot of people don't like that, but because the dead, everybody that is dead is in a state of unconsciousness. It doesn't matter if you died with the Lord or you died without the Lord. That's why it says they that have done good to life eternal, they that have done bad or evil to the resurrection of damnation. So he's letting you know. He's making a distinction right there. Everybody is in a state, every dead person is in a state of unconsciousness. But in the 20th chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. He's talking about the sea giving up the dead, death and hell delivering up the dead in them, which is talking about the grave. In the 16th chapter of Psalms, that's why the writer says, thou should not suffer thy holy one to see corruption or leave his soul in hell. The word is Sheol. The word there is not talking about hell, but it's talking about the grave. That's why he was saying that he didn't see corruption, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was buried, he didn't see corruption. He's in the grave 30-something hours, part of a day and part of another day and part of another day. That's the 3 days. So he says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, the key word is as. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So he didn't go down in hell and preach to the spirits. That is so stupid. People don't know what they're talking about. But Peter said about few, that is 8 souls that were saved by water. He's talking about in the days of Noah. And so it's in 1 Peter, third chapter. So he says, Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was in preparing, wherein that is 8 souls were saved by water. You got to catch it. So he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject unto him. So this is the truth when it is rightly divided. And that's why Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so this is what we have to do, and we have to know that this is the truth when it's rightly divided. So we go on here, like we said, and our time is getting away. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. So to go back, when he said, loose him and let him go, then many of the Jews which came to Mary to see the things, had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests. The who? The chief priests? They're supposed to be knowing what's going on. So that's what I'm saying. Mere religion. That's the problem that we have in the world today. Religion won't save you, but you need the salvation of God. That is water baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, just like they received on the day of Pentecost and in the 8th chapter of Acts and in the 10th chapter of Acts at Cornelius' house and the 19th chapter of Acts. They didn't even know. They had never even heard about the Holy Ghost. They only knew about the baptism of John. But John says, don't believe on me. Believe on him that should come after me. He was the forerunner. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight in the highway, in the desert. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's why he said, every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be brought low. Every rough place shall be made plain. Every valley shall be exalted. The rough place is plain. And he was saying, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. O Jerusalem, get up, get in the high place. So John, it was so dark, like I said, in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when they said, the biblical scholars call it the 400 years of silence when God did not say no thing, which means no prophetic word, because his word was going to come to pass in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, Galatians 4:4, made of a woman, made under the law. So as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself took likewise took part of the same, that he through death might take death out of the hands of him that had it, that is, the devil. And he's talking about the children who were subject to bondage. And he went on to say he didn't take on him, talking about the Son of God, he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. This is him showing his glory. This is him showing his power. So they gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? You believe, that's what you should do. If we let him go, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take our place, both our place and nation. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all. That's why Apostle Paul said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, 1 Corinthians 8:2, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So it doesn't matter all that we know. Our hearts are still open because we cannot exhaust God's word. So that's why Job said, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. My question is, which way is the north? I mean, he's God. He said, behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. So he's eternal. He always was. He is God. Before the mountains were brought forth, the psalmist says, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And that's why it says the eternal God. And Deuteronomy is our refuge. Underneath his wings is everlasting strength. So we're talking about one. So he is in the office of priesthood now. He was the prophet when he was walking on earth. And he was a prophet. That's why the woman at the well says, "Art thou that prophet?" We know that when Messiah cometh, he shall show us all things. That's why he was saying, as I said earlier when I first came on, "I that speaketh unto thee am he." So she knew. She said, "Come see a man told me all." She said to the men of that city in the fourth chapter of St. John, "Come see a man who told me all ever that I did. Is not this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world?" She knew that he was the Messiah. So, and then so Caiaphas letting them know they don't know nothing at all. That so neither consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And see, and then so this is, and you got to keep reading because people pop it up now like they're the only ones and this. No, he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel initially. Yes, but keep on reading. They rejected him. That's why everyone else was included, whosoever will. So not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That's why Peter said, "This is to you, to your children, to all that are far off." And he went on, "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That included everyone. So it's his will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Peter said he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Now, you know how stupid that is? They wanted to put him to death, but the devil is such a fool. He doesn't know everything. He actually played right into the plan. That's why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. So, you know, people don't like the truth, and that's what's going on in Washington, D.C. now. I mean, a lie and sin is like quicksand. If you keep lying, you forget which lie you told. You're just hanging yourself. Like the proverbial writer said, you're snared. You're taken by the words of your mouth. And so sin is like quicksand. The more you wiggle, the deeper you sink. You're hanging yourself. You can't just keep blaming stuff on other folks. That's what people are doing. So Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Therefore sought they for Jesus, spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think you that he would not come to the feast? Now both the Jews, the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it that they might take him. And we're going to end right there at the end of St. John for this time. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And like I said before, ask yourself, think upon the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God bless you.